Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the four winds. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they stood, they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our catechetical review for this morning is in your bulletin on page 9. Please read with me. Confession. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from unrepentant as long as they do not repent. The epistle for this morning is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 10. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Easter from St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Stand as we confess the Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, Son our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the mighty miracles that you do of bringing these dead bones to life, forgiving our sins, reminding us we are your children, and giving us eternal hope. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are certain things that are just plain impossible to do. You can't lick your own elbow. There are other things that are impossible to do. You can't sneeze with your eyes open. And you can't take a breath and swallow at the same time. I know, you just tried it. It doesn't work. It's impossible. God has made us that way, wonderfully created. And when all hope is gone, we look for miracles. We look for something to overcome the impossible. When all hope is gone and we face our brokenness, when we face our fears, when we face the fact that we're sinners and we've made a mess out of things, when we face our own death, we need hope. We need a miracle. When things seem impossible, God is there. We hear these words from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel today. Can these bones live? As God has taken Ezekiel out into a place where armies have fought for centuries, and it is full of dry, white, bleached, dead bones. And God asks Ezekiel that question. Can these bones live? Well, here's the backstory to God's people in the Old Testament lesson. God has been patient with his people. He has been loving them. He has been making promises to them. He has been keeping his promises to them, and they have not reciprocated. God's people have been idolatrous, running after their own gods. They have continued to be adulterers, loving other gods other than listening to him. They've had hard hearts. They've done what they've wanted. They've continued in their sinful ways, mocking God, and thinking that he just won't do anything about it. God's people Israel loved their sin. They didn't fear God or his judgment. So God gave them over to their sin. They were captured by the Babylonians. They were exiled out of their own land. They were separated from Jerusalem. They were separated from the temple. They were separated from worship. And most importantly, because all of this, they felt they were separated from hope. Have you ever been caught in your sin? The lie that you've been living has now been exposed to everyone. Everyone sees it. Worse than that, you can see it. You can see what you've done. You can see how people are hurt and disappointed and broken because of what you've done. You see the damage that you've caused. You see the trust that you broke. Can you recover? Will anyone forgive you? Will our sin, when our sin stares us down, It very often seems like there's no hope. There's no promise. There's no recovery. Things seem to be hopeless. Maybe you're still caught in sin. The one that you're trying so hard to hide. The one that you think you're doing a good job keeping it on the down low so nobody can see it. Just name the demon that you're dealing with. They all try to do the same thing. Every sin seeks to control us. Every sin seeks to pull us away from God. Seems every sin wants to convince you that you're fine, that no one will know, that you can keep on doing it until it pulls the rug out from under you and you're broken. Every sin is the same. It wants to pull you away from the hope that you have in Christ. You can name it, meth or heroin, beer or booze, porn or prostitution. Those are the easy ones to identify, by the way. There are others that we struggle with that hide in plain sight, and we're not as apt to identify them publicly. Depression, anxiety, unbelief. Eventually, all of these sins that we deal with, all of these sins that we try to cover up and handle on our own, they will all leave you with no hope. There's no doubt that we all make a mess out of all of the gifts that God gives to us. Everyone. We confess that every single Sunday when we gather here. I, a poor, miserable sinner. Which means I haven't done what God wanted me to do this week. I've blown it again. I've let my sin have its way with me. When we confess that to God in heaven, what we are asking is God to be merciful. We're asking for hope. We're asking for God to continue to do a mighty miracle. That's what Ezekiel shows us. Actually, that's what God gives Ezekiel to prophesy to Israel, who's feeling hopeless. In a vision, God takes Ezekiel to that valley, that large valley full of dry bones where kings and armies for centuries have come out to fight and the dead have been left to rot. And the birds have eaten their flesh and the bones have dried out and are scattered all over the place. And when you look through that valley, you can see nothing but death, nothing but destruction. And God asks Ezekiel this question. Son of man, can these bones live? Well, you know the answer as well as I do. Looking at those dry, dead bones scattered out there, you and I would say, not on their own they can't. These bones are dead and they are hopeless. They can't decide to be alive. They can't turn back time and make better decisions. They're dead. They're hopeless on their own. Ezekiel's answer to God comes from deeply rooted faith. Ezekiel says this, "O Lord God, you know." Everything Ezekiel sees and knows would say, just like for us, that there is no hope for those dead, dry bones. But Ezekiel trusts in God. His hope is in God. He trusts in God and his promises. So God speaks again to the prophet, and the prophet speaks to Israel, and he says this, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And the dead bones hear God's word, and hope replaces hopelessness. The dead bones hearing God's word, hope has replaced hopelessness. Bones are moving, skeletons are forming, flesh is covering. The dead, the hopeless, the cut off, the abandoned, they have hope as God's word begins to bring promise and reconciliation. Where the word of God speaks, there are eternal promises. God speaks his word of promise to idolatrous Israel and to us. Too, by the way. I will be your God and you will be my people, God speaks to them. Now that's pure grace poured out to them and to us. Dead in their idolatry, dead in their mocking of God, dead in their sinfulness, their self-centeredness. And God speaks words of hope and healing to them. It's really not that much different for us. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. dead in our sins, broken in our hopelessness by our own actions, not deserving anything from God except his condemnation, and he speaks promise to you. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Paul reminds us there is therefore now, on this side of the cross, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to the promise that Jesus makes to the paralytic after he's healed him of his paralysis. And Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." These promises, dear, broken, dry bone child of God, are yours by our gracious and loving God. That is the hope that he pours out on us. That's your forgiveness, your sin, encompassing everything in your life and seeking to pull you into death, has been stopped, has been forgiven by Christ, and you have been restored. You are forgiven. Your sin, however devastating it is to you and your family, to your friends and the world around you, cannot stop the Word of God from the work of salvation that he won for you on the cross. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. It matters what Jesus said to you, right there, just like he did for Lane. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God took dead bones, sinful bones that without hope and help would be damned to hell, and he made Lane his own dear child. Forgave all his sins and promised that wherever he goes, he will walk with him, and he has made the promise to us as well. No more condemnation from God, no more judgment from God. Jesus, the Word of God, took that from us. He paid for it. He covered us and our sin with his blood, so that now we can live in hope. Now we can live in promise, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ezekiel is commanded again to speak, and he does, and he says, God says to him, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, to the breath, and say to them, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they might live.'" If there's anything that gives us hope, it's these words that the Spirit has said to you when God put his sign of the cross both upon the forehead and upon the heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have been claimed, you've been washed, you've been regenerated and made new. We've been given an identity as sons and daughters of the King, and that is hope. That is hope that the world cannot steal. Israel knew their sin. It's without a doubt that they knew that as they sat hopeless. She was living in the earthly consequences of it, separated from everything that she knew, no home, no temple, no hope. And their response as they sat there broken was, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off." That sounds pretty hopeless. But listen to what God promised to them. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from the grave, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people." Just a week ago, we sat here. Just a week ago, we sat here and we heard those words early in the morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And God completed his promise to Israel. Their graves were opened. Our graves are opened. It can't hold you. It is a place where our bodies rest until our Lord calls us home to be with him, and we will be raised because our Lord has given us eternal hope. Jesus went to the cross, gave his life for you, and he spoke words to your dry, dead bones. It is finished. Every condemnation, every sin, everything that would pull you from the promises of Christ has been paid for by Jesus. He walked from the grave. He beat your greatest enemy. He's alive today, and he has made that promise to you. Your grave is open. Your sin is forgiven. Your Savior lives. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The resurrection we celebrated last Sunday, that's pure hope for us. Every time we gather in this place, on this, the first day of the week, it is pure hope. No matter how big the sin, no matter how public or private, it is not more powerful than the Lord who has spoken his word to you and risen from the dead and promised to you. You are his children. Your dry bones have been made new. Christ is risen. And he has made those promises to you. Your bones will live because they are covered in Christ. That's an Easter promise. That's hope for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.